Welcome to Comic Talk Today for Friday, October 26, 2018. And you know what? Next week's Halloween. And you know what I thought about it? I was like, you know, I haven't talked about any Halloween-y books. So that's what I'm doing on this episode, and tomorrow's episode, and Sunday's episode, and maybe Monday's episode, I don't know. But I've collected a list of books on Comixology because I don't know if you know this. I know many of you just love print comics. That's totally fair. If you want to grab some of these in print, by all means, go for it. But the good thing about Comixology is they always run some fantastic sales. And right now, there's a lot of really good horror comics on sale on Comixology because, well, duh, it's almost Halloween time. So there's sales from all different kinds of publishers. You can get stuff from Humanoids, IDW, Boom, Dark Horse, all kinds of places. So I highly recommend you check that out. None of the books that I'll be talking about on any of these episodes are current books. And the reason for that is there is so much content available that many of you, I'm sure, are already reading some of the current books, if you're interested in this kind of thing. And I try to pick some horror books that aren't like your standard type of horror comic. Because, I mean, you can go and read like Bone Parish, for example. Fantastic book by Cullen Bunn. Highly recommend you check it out. You can read those. They're out now. And people are talking about it. So I wanted to pick some books from the Comixology sale that are a little bit older that maybe people aren't really talking about anymore. Because that way it gives you a little back matter, something to go back to. Because you know what? New comics are great, but there are tons of old comics. I don't know if you know this. Comics have been around for like 100 years. Did you know that? It's true. So there's a few that I want to talk about. And I'll be doing this over the next couple of days. So I hope you enjoy them. And I hope that maybe you'll pick up some of these books. I want to kick off with one that's maybe a very loose definition of horror. And the reason for that is I want to talk about The Shadow Volume 1. This is from Dynamite Entertainment. It came out, I don't even know, probably about 8-9 years ago. Written by Garth Ennis with art by Aaron Campbell. So, I mean, you know, Garth Ennis is one of my favorites. Even though he writes a lot of war stuff and war books are not maybe my favorite. I know many of you love those kind of things. I do still love Garth Ennis. Aaron Campbell, I think, is just a brilliant artist. So a really great creative team on here. And I know some of you are going to be thinking to yourselves, like, is this really a horror book? And like I said, I'm using a very loose definition here on what horror is. Because the cool thing about horror is that it can encompass many different things. In fact, all the books that I'm going to talk about tonight are all very different. And I did that on purpose. I chose different eras in history. I chose different genres of horror. I chose different types of storytelling, and of course, very different art styles. Because I want to show you that horror is not just about jump scares or blood or death and destruction. Horror can be a lot of other different things. And that's the reason that I wanted to put The Shadow on here. Number one, I wanted to reread The Shadow anyway. So, you know, I had to pick it because I love The Shadow. In fact, I'm going to be doing a little comparison between early Golden Age Batman and The Shadow, because of course The Shadow was inspired. And that'll be a segment on an upcoming Batpod, probably in a couple of weeks. I'll probably be recording it over the weekend. And so I wanted to go back and read some Shadow, both old Shadow and new Shadow. And I think the Garth Ennis take on The Shadow is very interesting. And this book may not necessarily fall into a very typical horror type comic. So that's why I'm using the definition very loosely for this particular title. But the cool thing about the way that Ennis handles The Shadow is there are some supernatural elements, right? Because The Shadow is kind of a being that possesses Lamont Cranston in this book. Now, I say that maybe some of you feel is not a horror book is because this is Garth Ennis, and as you all know, Garth Ennis loves historical fiction. He loves World War II. And this book does take place around that era, right? The late 30s, early 40s, and a time where The Shadow was extremely popular. And, you know, the majority of the book, oddly enough, does not focus on The Shadow. In fact, The Shadow plays a very limited role in this book at all. Really, the only times you see The Shadow is in issue 1 and issue 6. Now, you do see Lamont Cranston quite a bit in this series, and he is part of kind of, there's a couple of mysteries going on involving like Japanese soldiers. There's also some like criminal organizations here in the U.S. But the reason I wanted to build this as kind of a horror book, in particular those two issues, 1 and 6, the middle four through five, read more like a typical Garth Ennis World War II type story. So if you're into that, you love that. But the role of the shadow here is very much to be hidden in the shadows. And that's something that I really enjoy. Because, you know, Garth Ennis is not a huge fan of doing superhero type stuff. And it really shows in this book. And the shadow is used kind of in a way that a lot of horror movies used to show the, we'll say, villain of the story. Where, you know, you don't really see that being or person or creature very much throughout the film. But whenever he or she shows up, it's extremely impactful and actually gives you a lot of information about the world that the story is taking place in. And, you know, like I said, this is true of like older horror stories in particular, you know, going all the way back to, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, like classic horror flicks, all the way up through like, I guess you could say maybe the late 70s into the 80s, where you had kind of that classic horror revival. And it really shows. And because of that, I really love it. There's a lot of tension when the shadow shows up. Like I said, there are some supernatural elements as well. And for that reason, I recommend you read it. And really just, there's a lot to like about this book. You know, the shadow is very influential for example, Batman, but a lot of other superheroes that were created in the 30s. And it's Garth Ennis, so it's fantastic. Highly recommend it. The Shadow Volume 1, Fire of Creation, is what I read. It's available on this sale on Comixology for $4.49. I think that might be, yeah, so that's if you are a Comixology Unlimited subscriber, which, oddly enough, if you're a subscriber, you can read this for free. So I do recommend that. I think it's $5.99. I don't even know. I just pay it every month. And well worth it. Matter of fact, all the books that I'll be talking about today are available on Comixology Unlimited. And if you're a Prime subscriber, I think you also get the 10% discount. So that's the added benefit of tying in your Amazon account to Comixology. But yeah, $4.49 if you're a Prime member. I guess it's $5 if you're not. Well worth it. Definitely check that out. That is The Shadow Volume 1 from Dynamite. I want to talk a little bit, there's a few Humanoids books in here, which I'm really glad that these are available. Humanoids does some really interesting stuff. I talked about Humanoids a few weeks ago because generally they've been known from bringing European comics to the US. And the cool thing about European books is that the storytelling is a little bit different. The types of stories are a little bit different. Oftentimes they're a little more social than American comics are. And it works very well, in particular, for horror stories. And Humanoids has been bringing these European books to the U.S. for quite a while. They're going to be launching their own superhero universe soon. You can go check that out. I don't even remember what episode it was, but look through the show notes and you'll see it. So the book that I want to talk about first is Sanctum, Volume 1, USS Nebraska. This is written by Xavier Dorison with art by Christopher Beck. And let me tell you, it is on Comixology Unlimited. And if you get that discount, it's $2.69. So like $3, right? I think these are all half off regular price. But if you're a Prime subscriber, $2.69. So you can't beat that. And sure, it's not a very long story. These, most of the Humanoids books are, you know, between 60 and 100 pages. So they're fairly quick reads, but really well worth it. Sanctum is actually, quite a long series. I believe there were, I mean, I don't even know, like 5 different volumes of Sanctum, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. Let me look it up. Okay, so 3 volumes of Sanctum, and then there's like a Sanctum Redux and Sanctum Genesis and a few other things that tied in. But really, really great book. I gotta say, if you are looking for like something truly creepy, you're not gonna get a lot of that probably into the second volume, and I'm not talking about that today. I just want to talk about Volume 1. But it's kind of a Lovecraftian story, kind of mixed in with, I don't know if any of you have ever read, like, Michael Crichton's Fear, or, you know, what's the other one? The Deep, or The Abyss, something similar to that. It's got, like, that the Thing feel, so if you enjoyed those kind of horror stories, then this is kind of in that vein, right? Where you do have kind of a monster, but, again, these stories really aren't so much about the monster, but about what happens around the mystery of the monster or whatever else. And Sanctum's very cool. So it takes place in a couple of different time frames. The book kicks off in World War II, where the Nazis uncover this supposedly Sumerian temple. We fast forward a little bit to the 50s, and we see a Russian sub kind of do an investigation into this temple. And then we fast forward to the future, 2029, and the USS Nebraska is the central element of this book. It's a nuclear submarine, and it's being deployed by the U.S. to go over to Syria. And I thought that was really interesting because this book came out, I want to say, like 4 or 5 years ago. So the Syrian conflict wasn't a huge thing as it is now, but really cool to see that in here. So it gets deployed to Syria to kind of figure out what the hell's going on over in Syria, to keep track of like rebel movements and things like that. And along the way, they get a distress signal from something deep in the ocean, and they go down to research it. And it turns out they find this cave. So they go through the cave and they find this abandoned Russian submarine that apparently is not in any records. The captain of the ship, they go in and search the submarine. They find the captain. It turns out the captain supposedly died 10 years before the submarine was ever built. So this was definitely a very covert mission for the Russians, and they're trying to figure out why. And we do kind of learn why, because as it turns out, the Nazis and then the Russians had discovered this temple that's not actually Sumerian. It was Ugaritic, I believe is what it's called. And it was a Syrian city that was kind of one of the early, had one of the early writing systems, roughly, I think maybe a little bit after Sumerian and stuff like that, but definitely very early on. And you guys know I love languages, so I had to look up Ugaritic, and it's fascinating. So it's a Semitic language. I'm not going to talk about like the specifics, but if you want to talk to me about it, by all means, I'd be more than happy to, because I find this stuff really, really cool. And the cool thing is, of course, because it's set in that Syrian era, right, the Middle East, there's a lot of kind of stories that are influenced by Sumerian mythology and Egyptian mythology, and some really cool stuff about demons. I think their central god was Baal, who, of course, appears in the Bible as one of the idols, right? So all that stuff was really cool to see. And matter of fact, I'm going to see if I can find, like, a book of the legends of Ugar, the city of Ugar, because these stories sound really cool. Sound really cool. I love like religious stuff as well. So totally up my alley. So they find this, and apparently it was a city built for the gods, and something happened. The Ugaritic society collapsed like 1200 BC, and nobody really knows why. Just the city was destroyed. And according to this book, it may have something to do with this curse. And so there's some other language aspects in here, like Latin shows up. They're trying to decipher Ugaritic, which nobody had ever seen before. They think it's Sumerian, which kind of explains why the Nazis thought it was Sumerian. Really cool story. And it's kind of a – we don't really see any demons, although there's a creature that shows up that we don't really know what it is. It's kind of humanoid. But people kind of start going crazy when they come into contact with this city, this temple that they find underneath. And it's almost like people are getting the plague, but it turns out that it's not the plague because there's no sign of bacteria or viruses or disease or anything. Really cool story. There's fantastic – like the fact that this is only 50 pages and it's got such great character development with such a large cast of characters, because we meet a lot of people in the sub. And, you know, subs, while they may be large on the outside, inside they're very small and very cramped. And so you have a large group of people in the sub, and you get to learn a lot about all of them and a lot about this world. I thought this book was just absolutely brilliant. I cannot wait to read the third volume. I went ahead and read the second one. Yes, I've been doing a lot of reading. But this was just absolutely fantastic. Highly, highly recommend Sanctum. Again, there's three volumes, and there's like a couple of like accompanying things. And I mean, it's $3. You know what I'm saying? For 60 pages, really, really highly recommend it. I can't wait to finish this one up. Also from Humanoids. Matter of fact, I think there's two David Munoz books. Maybe not. Maybe David Munoz is on the next one. Oh yes, yes, there is two David Munoz books. First one up is Whispers in the Wall, Volume 1, Sarah. This is like I said, written by David Munoz. We got art by Tirzo and colors by Javi Montez. This is also a 3-volume series, and each volume focuses on a different central character of the story. And now this one's kind of cool. There's some World War II stuff interspersed in here, but there's hints as to bigger things in terms of the background story for this title. So Whispers in the Walls kind of kicks off in this, I don't know, I guess we could say a home that gets attacked by, I assume, the Knights Templar. It definitely seems like some kind of medieval order of knights. And they come in here and just basically obliterate everybody there. They kill everybody there. And then we fast forward to 1949, I believe it is. Or, I don't know, somewhere around that era. Yeah, I think it's 49. So it's immediately after World War II. This takes place in the Czech Republic and then called Czechoslovakia. It's kind of taken over by the Russians after the war. And there's a lot of, I guess we can say, experimentation. We don't really know what's going on, right? So we meet this girl, Sarah, who she's being kept under close watch by these scientists. They give her pills. She goes on walks through the woods with them. You know, they do a lot of tests on her. She has trouble sleeping. And we don't really know what's going on. And the story is that during World War II, the Nazis kind of unleashed this virus in Czechoslovakia and in the whole Eastern Front to kind of bring the population down to make it easier for them to win the war. Unfortunately for them, the virus didn't have a very long shelf life, and so it kind of disappeared within a couple of weeks. But there are people still infected by this virus, even though this is a few years later. And we learn a little bit about Sarah. We learn that her parents were killed. As the story progresses, we learn how they were killed, and it turns out that they were killed by seemingly a vampire-looking thing. While this is going on, she's wondering if there's other kids there, because she's told that there's kids, but she hasn't seen anybody else. And one of the kids pops in, who, oddly enough, looks like the kid that's originally killed by the Knights Templar at the beginning of the title. And he's like, hey, come into the walls. We have a group. And it turns out that there is a group. There's like 4 or 5 kids in this home. And they start trading stories about, you know, what the medication and the way that they're being treated there and the type of treatment, both psychological and physical, that they receive. And some of the kids get along, some of them don't. As the story progresses, we learn more about the monsters, and maybe this whole Nazi story wasn't true, because we do see that there are beings being kept off on the side of the this home that are kind of locked up underground, and they're all monsters. And as it turns out, they were kids at one point that ended up turning into monsters. And by the end of Volume 1, we do see some changes. We do learn that some of the kids have abilities. We do see Sarah turning into this vampire-looking creature, kind of like the one that bit her. And really, really fascinating. I thought this was really cleverly done. Another great cast of characters. This would almost feel to me, like, if you're okay with letting your kids see a little bit of violence and a little bit of blood in comics, this might be okay for, like, a preteen even, you know, like 10 to 12, because the kids are very relatable, and I think the story is interesting enough and not gruesome, not so gruesome that it wouldn't really appeal to older kids, right? So I would say preteen age. If you have a teenager, they'd probably love this. I thought it was fantastic. So I'm definitely going to be reading the rest of this. Like I said, each volume focuses on one of these central characters. This first one is Sarah. And highly, highly recommend it. It's another $2.99 book, free if you have unlimited. So by all means, check it out. That is Whispers in the Walls, Volume 1 from Humanoids. Also from Humanoids, I want to briefly talk about Dominion, Volume 1, The Resurrection of Jason Ash. This is written by Thomas Fenton with art by Jamal Eagle, who, of course, I've talked quite a bit about recently because he is doing The Wrong Earth over at Ahoy Comics. We've got part of the art is also done by Stephen Cunningham. I believe Volume 1 is all Eagle, and then half of Volume 2. And then Volume 2 is split, and then 3 is all Cummings. If I'm not mistaken, that's the way the breakdown goes. This is also a 3-volume series. They're all $2.99 a piece as well. This one is about 50 pages. And this is another story where the first volume is a whole lot of setup. A whole lot of setup. We do learn a little bit about who the Dominion are, and there's a lot here about kind of like ancient religious stuff. So the battle between Lucifer and his angels and God and his angels. And there may be some breakaway angel factions in here as well. But really interesting. That's, of course, what the Dominion are. And there's some Cthulhu mythology in here as well, which, of course, you guys know. I love that kind of stuff. And really fantastic. Really fantastic. The art is very much early Jamal Igle. I'm not sure how old this book is. I want to say roughly like 7-8 years ago. So his style has definitely changed quite a bit, but I'd rather enjoyed it. And most of the book concentrates on Jason Ash, who is the main character. He's a police detective, and he's investigating the kidnappings of these girls. There's a couple of murders that happen around the general area of the kidnappings. There's a being who is part of the Dominion that has a fight at the beginning of the book and gets killed, and then apparently resurrected by one of the girls that was killed by this serial killer, who may or may not, spoiler alert, he does, have ties into this apocalyptic cult it's based around the Dominion. So really, really cool story. Really cool story. If you're into that kind of thing, then I think this may definitely be up your alley. It's not quite as horror-filled as some of the other books, but it's a really cool serial killer, like cult-type story, and I love those kind of things. So Dominion Volume 1 from Humanoids is well worth checking out. Also from Humanoids is The Last Ones, Volume 1, Exodus. David Munoz is the writer, and man, this guy is prolific, let me tell you. Look him up. You're going to love, like, basically anything he writes. With art by Manuel Garcia, another $2.99 book, free if you have Comixology Unlimited. And this is a post-apocalyptic book. I know some of you have an aversion to post-apocalypse now because it's just so common, but this one is really fantastic. If you've ever watched the film The Colony, it's kind of in the vein of that. And if you're not sure what The Colony is, I'm trying to think what else would be similar. Kind of like 30 Days of Night. Another fantastic comic, which I haven't decided if I'm going to put in this list or not. I'll think about it. But I've read a bunch of 30 Days of Night, and I think that's also a brilliant book. That's Steve Niles. He's done tons of them. And, of course, there's a movie. So you can watch the movie, even though the movie is not as good as the comic. So The Colony kind of took that 30 Days of Night thing and brought it, made some changes to it, right, where the world has gone cold. In that movie, something happens and humans actually cause that disaster. In The Last Ones, the world has grown cold and the sun has kind of disappeared. Like, we still have daylight, but it's covered. So as a result, vampires are free to roam the earth. And, they never explain how it is that this happened. It just happened. And these people just kind of learn to deal with it. And it follows a group of surviving humans. There's a man and a woman, and I think it's 4 kids. The kids call the woman teacher, even though she's not a teacher. We learned that she was basically a comic book artist. She was an illustrator for kids' children's stories. We learned what happened to her writing partner. He ended up killing himself after this apocalypse first started, and his kids got killed in a flood. We learned quite a bit about the kids. But the important thing is they meet this guy. I believe his name is Niall, and he rescues them from these vampires that attack them as they're trying to flee in a bus. And as we learn through the story, this is not a spoiler because it happens pretty early on, we learn that Niall is a vampire, except he's not like other vampires because he doesn't feed on humans like cattle, unlike some of these other ones do. And we learn the reason why, and we learn about the Church of Blood, and I think that whole thing is really fascinating. It reminded me a little bit of like Blade, the films, where there's a group of vampires that have existed throughout time, and their purpose is to be kind of like vampire cops, you know, where when there's like a loose cannon vampire that just goes out and kills humans, they're in charge of wrangling them in. If they don't want to stop, they kill that vampire. And the reason is because if there's no humans for vampires to feed on, then vampires can't survive. And so they implemented this Church of Blood to kind of keep an eye on other vampires. And they take an oath where they're going to kind of protect humanity and do what's best for both species because it's important for them to coexist together, right? And so that's why vampires are still a secret, because they don't want people to know that there's vampires. Although now that this apocalypse has happened, everyone knows, because there's a lot of loose cannon vampires, because now they can all just go out in the dark or in the light and not be afraid. Whereas before, they had to only hunt at night, and there was the problem of, well, what if the Church of Blood finds us? So really cool stuff. There's a lot of interpersonal stories, both within the human group, and then with Niall, he meets this parasitic vampire that I thought was a kind of a cool concept. And turns out that the parasitic vampire was part of the Church of Blood, and he knows Niall. So I really dug this whole story. There's a lot of human elements in here that I don't normally see from vampire stories. It reads a lot more like a zombie book would, where those are really kind of, commentary on human society and culture. But it's that, but with vampires. And I thought it was really, really well done. If you like books like Walking Dead, then I think this will be totally up your alley. Highly, highly recommend The Last Ones from Humanoids. The last book I want to talk about, I'm going to talk about just really briefly, because this is a monster of a book. This is The Fall of Cthulhu Omnibus from Boom Studios. It is a whopping 600 pages and a whopping $8.09 to buy. So if you love Lovecraft stuff, Cthulhu stuff, just like weird, fantastical, fantasy-type horror, then this will be totally up your alley. Totally up your alley. Like I said, it's 600 pages, so it'll take you quite a while to write or read through. It is all written by Michael Allen Nelson, and there are literally like 24 artists in this book because it is a gigantic monster. And I just want to comment on it. There's a lot of retelling of like Cthulhu mythology, and if you're a Lovecraft fan, you'll know what I'm talking about. So you learn a lot about the old gods. You learn about Cthulhu, you learn about some of the sects involved that worship the old gods, some of the sects that kind of want to bring about the end of the world. You learn about the Al-Azif, the Necronomicon, which, interestingly enough, in popular culture has kind of become like a real thing, even though Lovecraft made it up for his Cthulhu stories. We do meet the writer of the Al-Azif, Abdul Al-Hazred is his name, and he's also a fictional character, but he plays a key role throughout the story. In the first issue, we see him kind of delving into magic and using the Necronomicon, and he gets taken to the dreamland where kind of all mythological creatures live, and ends up getting killed in the mystery city because he's not supposed to be telling the world about how the dark side of magic works, and so he gets killed as a result. Throughout the story, though, he gets resurrected by a demon god who kind of wants to bring about the end of the world and wants to incite a war with the old gods. There's a lot of really cool human characters in here as well. Really fantastic stuff. This is probably out of all the ones that I talked about today, maybe the closest to like a true classic horror type story. And as a result, I loved it. And the really cool thing, even though there's a ton of artists in this thing, I think it's the same artist for the Dreamland sequences. And those are my favorite because they look like, if you've ever read like, Silver Age horror books, like, creepy and eerie and all that kind of stuff, it looks like that, right? Like very simplistic style, very flat colors, sometimes vibrant, like primary colors. And it works so well for those theme sequences. So this will be a book for somebody that likes a little more classic horror with a little fantasy elements in there. If you like books like Sandman, for example, or books of magic, The Dreaming, that kind of thing, this will be right up your alley as well. Really fantastic stuff. I wish I could talk about it more, but it'd be kind of hard to talk about 600 pages. You know what I mean? But really, really great. And you know, for $8 for 600 pages, like that is some page to dollar value. So I cannot recommend this enough. I hope you enjoy that. I'm going to have some more recommendations. I'll be doing at least 2 more episodes of these Halloween-y recommendations. And let me know what you think about them. You can find me on Twitter at GeekVine. You can, of course, email yell@comictalk.today. And I'll be back tomorrow with a brand new one.